Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, May 28th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're on page 60, the second paragraph, our description of the alcoholic, reading through A, B, and C, ending with that could and would if he were sought, and we'll be commenting on all of that. Today's readers are Christine G., who will be reading the 12 Steps, Terry S., will be reading the 12 Traditions, and the readers of our text are Sherry K.B., Robin P., and Julie E.B. The share ID for Thursday, May 27th, at 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 17,028. That's 17028. This morning's Friday, May 28th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, share ID is 17,035. That's 17035. Our newcomer greeter for today is Leah S., and Robin P. will be making the announcements. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Christine G. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Christine.
Good morning. Thank you all for your service. The 12 Steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admit to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you, Christine G. And Terry S., would you read the 12 traditions, please?
I'd be happy to. This is Terry S., food addict in Oregon. 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
And thank you, Terry F. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph. Sorry, I lost my spot. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 60, the second paragraph that begins with our description of the alcoholic. We're reading through A, B, and C, ending with that could and would if he were sought. And we'll be commenting on all of that. So good morning, Sherry KB. If you could get us started, please.
Good morning, Kathleen. Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered, compulsive, a reader. Our description of the alcoholic, the chapter to the agnostic, and our personal adventures before and after make clear three pertinent ideas. A, that we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives. B, that probably no human power could relieve us of our alcoholism. And C, God could and would if he were sought. I think of ABCs, you know, what I learned in school and how important it was for me to learn this and to remember the ABCs. And to me, this is doing the same thing. It's telling me that our description of the alcoholic, which is the doctor's opinion, Bill's story, more about alcoholism, and the chapter to agnostic, is reminding me of that's all of step one. And then, you know, the chapter to the agnostic is all about step two. And then all the stories that happen in the back, they're so important because they do describe what it was like before and what it was like after they took the steps. And so it's telling me here, for me, that, you know, am I convinced yet that I can't manage my own life? How many decades did I spend doing it my way, doing it on my knowledge, never accepting that I was powerless and that my life was unmanageable, because I never wanted to believe that. My disease had me so convinced that I was fine, thank you very much, but I spent decades in denial of how I had no power. And so it's telling me, you know, I am powerless. And it took all these chapters to get me to understand how powerless I am if I am a true compulsive overeater, which I am. And that B, I have no power over this disease. I mean, I have a lot of knowledge. I bet all of us have a lot of knowledge, but I have no power. And so the only way that I can get relieved of this disease is turning my will and my life over to a higher power. But we're not even there yet. It's just even admitting it. And they even said to read this book, and if you're not convinced by now, throw the book away, because you'll never get convinced. If you read all this and you still think you can do it your way, Sherry, I don't think so. And then also that God couldn't order if you were sought. Well, you know, I've turned so many things, food and situations, into a higher power, and I was looking for the wrong power. I needed to find a power within myself that resided within me, that lived in each and every person. You know, it talks about that on page, I think, 55, that deep down inside, every man, woman, and child is a fundamental belief of a higher power, and that without that power, I can't be free of this disease. And so how important it is for me to remember my ABCs. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Sherry KB, for getting us started this morning. So again, we're on page 60, the second paragraph, our description of the alcoholic, reading through A, B, and C, ending with that would, that could and would if you were sought. And although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Christina J.
Eileen M.
J. Eileen
Bonnie
M.
B.
Bonnie B.
Veronica B.
Veronica B. Uh-oh. Hold on, you guys. Hold on 1 second. Sorry. My pen just ran out of ink. Okay. Okay, who else would like to share on this paragraph? Ran out of ink and names.
Carol,
okay,
F.
So let, Carol, and is it F as in Frank, Carol?
Yes.
Okay, great. I can take one more. Okay, we will stop there. So I have Christina J., Eileen M., Bonnie B., Veronica B., and Carol F. Go ahead, please, Christina J.
Good morning, Christina J. from the state of Lexington. Recovered for today with God's grace. Powerless of food. I got the food part. I didn't get the manageable part. No vitamin A. Didn't get that for a long time. I chased everything down I possibly could. I went on spiritual retreats, looking for the answer to my unhappiness because I was chasing a carrot, a big carrot of validation hung out there for me. And I knew it had my name on it. If I could just grasp it, hang on, and start swinging, would we change? And I would prove to the world that I was okay, that I could be loved, that you needed to see me when I was a baby, that you needed to acknowledge me. I chased that damn thing all my life until I had to surrender it. That God could or would if he was sought. Oh, my God. I didn't think I was not seeking God. But you know what? I have a very smart brain. I'm a very smart person, and that's not coming from ego. It's just I think we all are smart. We try to find solutions to the problems, and what's wrong with that, really? God gave us brains to use, right? But how are we using them? In what way are we using them? I had no clue that this program would bring me to the answers. You know how I seek God today? Because I'm still in my head. This is a work in progress, let me tell you. Now that I'm 9 months in, nine and a half, the big stuff is coming up from way down deep in the well, way down deep in the well of my soul. And what's that main thing? Fear. Fear. That same fear that I've got to do this, that I've got to figure this life out, that I got to get mine. Well, you know what? God gave me a little tool a few weeks back. Well, actually, a couple months ago. It's called breathe, relax into that, and surrender. So when those thoughts come, which they do every night, if I enact that tool, and it's almost like a little meditation, I'm surrendering into God. What is the way I seek God? By surrendering. That's how I can seek him when I've got a crazy brain running around like 10 monkeys in my head, jumping up and down. You know, I have neutrality around the food, and I have to keep working this program 10, 11, and 12, and my sponsee is a blessing. All my sponsees have been huge blessings because they show me where I could still get stuck, where I am still stuck, how I'm not as close to God as I need to be. It's a blessing. So if you're out there and you need to get on this train, don't be afraid. One step at a time. You don't have to figure out all this stuff all at once. Just one step. Just get a guide. and get going because you're dying. I mean, I don't want to say that because it sounds rude, but I was dying day by day, bite by bite. And I don't have to die anymore. I just have to stay close to God by surrendering. That's the key, surrender into that breath, surrender into that grace of God one moment at a time. Thank you for letting me share my thoughts.
Thank you, Christina J. in Washington. And Eileen M., you're up, followed by Bonnie B. Go ahead, Eileen.
Good morning. This is Eileen M., gratefully recovered in New Hampshire. And, this is a great meeting so far. This A, B, and C reminds me of step one, two, and three. And it's really the whole program in these three lines. And, compulsive overeating was my solution to my unmanageable life. You know, that was the only thing I knew. And, you know, that was what self-reliance got me. You know, that was my solution. And, what I learned here was that, you know, here's in A, it's we're alcoholic, we can't manage our lives. That's the powerlessness. You know, and the thing is, the fact is I didn't cause this disease. I can't control it and I can't cure it. I love this line about, you know, no human power could relieve us of this. You know, notice the word relieve. No human power can fix this. And I really thought for many years in OA that if I just had the right sponsor, you know, the right sponsor was going to solve my problem. And I learned, you know, cracking open this big book is that, you know, the purpose of the book is to find a power that will solve my problem. That's not a human power. It's my heart. It's God. The other thing is deciding, if I decide to seek God, that God will relieve the addiction. And that is what has happened. You know, and I love that line that, you know, there's someone on this phone line that says all the time, you know, if we walk to God, he will run to us. And that is the truth. That has been my experience. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Eileen M. in New Hampshire. And Bonnie B., you're up, followed by Veronica B. Go ahead, Bonnie.
Thank you kindly. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for your service. Bonnie B., gratefully recovered by the grace of God for today, out of Minnesota. I didn't have any problem acknowledging that my life was a mess and completely unmanageable, and I didn't have any problem believing that there was a higher power. I came into this program believing in the God of my understanding. It was that step C that was hard for me, that he couldn't, he would, because I had tried for years and years and years. And I had tried through memorizing scripture. I had tried through buying every book you could imagine that focused around my higher power, around my God. And yet I wasn't delivered from this. And the word that sticks out to me is the word if. That God could and would, which is so incredibly exciting once you start to believe it, if he were sought. If it's, you know, that word if is conditional. And I looked that up and it means in the event that, on the condition that, on the assumption that he were sought. The deal is that I wasn't seeking him. I was doing my own thing and calling it seeking him. I was saying I was seeking him by memorizing scriptures. I was saying I was seeking him by restricting or by exercising or any of these crazy things that you do, but it wasn't really God that I was seeking. I was seeking a fix and giving him the back seat. And so I wasn't able to even become recovered until I really got that step C under my belt because I couldn't go on to the third step. And so I went into, I spent two and a half years in the vision rooms with five amazing sponsors and still was not able to grab hold of it until I really was given the truth in this step C here, that I was seeking the wrong thing. I was holding out for the wrong thing. It was all about me. And so there's that release button there. And I'll tell you what's on the other side is more beautiful than anything I could have ever imagined. And I'm so grateful for these phone lines. I'm so grateful for each of you and for the grace that God gives me. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you much.
And thank you, Bonnie B. in Minnesota. Veronica B., good morning. You are up, followed by Carol F. Go ahead, Veronica.
Hi, I'm Veronica. I'm a compulsive overeater and a bulimic. And thank you, Kathleen, for your service. Yeah, these are the reminders for me. I go to a lot of meetings, and this is always reminds me, like, what my problem is. It reminds all of us, because I have an addict mind. I am a compulsive overeater, and my life is unmanageable. That means for me, like, my thinking is broken. I have a living problem, really. I just don't know how to live comfortable in my own skin without using food to numb me. And there's something inside me that's broken. And this I know of myself because I ate and threw up for 15 years. And I know that's not normal eating, you know. And that probably no human power could relieve me of my alcoholism. My problem is I would make the next guy my higher power, or I would make the next sponsor my higher power. I would make a job my higher power. You know, I thought they would be able to relieve me of my alcoholism. And that gave me a lot of pain because I wasn't always willing to do all the work, you know, like half measures, because I would make these other things important. And that God could have, would if he were sought. That God is all powerful. He's the boss. He's the chief. He's all powerful. He is the only one that has this power to relieve me of my alcoholism. And that he would, if he were sought. In step two, came to believe. Believing is a powerful force. It's a powerful thing, believing. You know, because when I came into Overeaters Anonymous, I saw others recover, and I was attracted to that. And I said to myself, well, if it works for them, maybe it can work for me. Maybe it can work for me. And once I made that decision to believe that maybe it could work for me, I started doing what they did, you know. And because believing is a state of mind. And I know that I have to spend time with my higher power, just like I would in a relationship with a friend. You know, I have to invite my God into my day. I sit quiet. I try to let him work through me. And for me, higher power is just, it feels good, you know. It feels like doing the right thing, you know. And that brings me a lot of joy. And really trying to live today by doing things through my heart and not my mind, you know. And I love this program. I love what it's done for me in my life. And thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Veronica B. in California. And before we take Carol, I just want to remind everyone we're on page 60, the second paragraph. Our description of the alcoholic, we're reading through A, B, and C, ending with that could and would if he were sought. And I'll be taking some more names after Carol F. So go ahead, please, Carol.
Yes, good morning, everyone. I'm Carol F., compulsive overeater, food addict, and recovery from Maryland. And I love that God could and would if he were sought. I must have read that I don't know how many times. But at some point in time, the light bulb clicked on. And most of my life, while in program, I walked around like a little wilted flower, just dragging myself along, trying to dig myself out of one situation, food or whatever it was, some point or situation of my life, me trying to do everything. And then at some point in time, I read that again. And when I saw that and the light bulb came on that God could and would if he was sought, all of a sudden it was like I was filled with hope. I could put a smile on my face. I had joy in my heart. There was happiness. I felt restored, so encouraged. And the burden of me having to do it myself was lifted. And that's all I want to share. Thank you for letting me share today.
Thank you, Carol F. in Maryland. Okay, I am ready for some more names. If you have not shared in the last 3 days, I'd love to hear your name so you can share on this.
Charles H.
Charles H.
Sivia VG.
Dion R.
Sivia VG. Dion R.
Jody E.
Jody E. Anyone else want to jump in? All right.
Kim B.
Is that Kim B?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thanks, Kim. Okay. I have Charles H., Sivia B. G., Dion R., Jody E., and Kim B. Go ahead, Charles.
Thanks for your service. Charles H., I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And what rings to me in these three alphabets is faith without works is dead. Yeah, it's uncomfortable to put the food down and keep it down for any amount of time without dealing with these buildup of human emotions. So I've done the work at one point, but I ain't trust or believe in the work. And if there's a very... You know, I'm pretty sure a lot of people online are very smart and know that we're not at step three yet until the third step three on page 63. The book has been trying to tell us about alcoholism. It first starts with alcohol, and then it starts with, especially on page 61 and 62, it starts talking about the isms, which is I see me. And that's all I see. Self-centeredness, talks about selfishness, talks about dishonesty. You know, life is a toilet bowl for me. And that toilet bowl is clogged every single day. Whether I'm on a mountaintop by myself, that's selfishness. Whether I'm on a beach by myself, that's self-centeredness. No matter what. And no one can tell you how many times you need to unclog the toilet bowl. Nobody can't put a number on that. But I know this. As a human being, I have the buildup of human emotions every single day. And I could talk a good one on the line for 3 minutes. But am I unclogging my toilet bowl consistently? Am I trying to help somebody? Am I getting out of myself? You know, God could be sought if he was sought. Right, that's a very good condition. And I'll close with this. The big book has five things that I know about. It has prayers, it has promises, it has warnings, it has conditions, and it has questions. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Charles H. And Sivia VG, you are up, followed by Dion R.
Good morning, everybody. This is Sivia VG, a recovered compulsive eater located in Placerville, California. And I thank God for all the service, Kathleen. Thank you so much. Just real quick, I don't think I'll take up the whole time. To me, seeking God is, you know, you don't seek him, I don't seek him, and then I'm done. You know, to me, seeking God is something that I have to do every day. I have a huge forgetter, and I tend to forget that I am, you know, not God. And, you know, Bill W. says in the big book, first we had to stop playing God. And I have this tendency that that's what I want to do. And so to go in and constantly seek God, that third step prayer is for me so key to do it often throughout the day so that I can serve others. I need to be relieved of the bondage of self. If I'm in my selfishness, and boy, I'm really selfish, it's all about me, you know. And if I can ask God and be willing to ask God on a daily basis and to seek God on a daily basis to relieve me of the bondage of self, that I can do God's will better. That's where the program really kicked in for me. When it was like this I don't know if it was a spiritual awakening or a spiritual experience or if it was a aha moment. Maybe those are all the same. But if I continue to work this program and I demand of my sponsees or sponsors that they sponsor me in the way I want to be sponsored, or I insist on eating the foods I want to eat, that's me playing God. I need to be willing to have those difficulties removed, and what I did before didn't work. And so now I'm trying a new way. It's not hard, you know, but it's not softer. And I just need to try that way in order to stop doing those things that was causing and wreaking havoc in my life and all those people's lives around me. Have a really blessed holiday weekend. I hope everybody gets some time to relax a little bit. And as one of my friends in the program says, to be a human being, not a human doer. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
And thank you so much to Via VG in California. Dion R., good morning. You're up, followed by Jody E.
Hey, good morning, Kathleen. Hi, this is Dion R., recovered compulsive overeater, and very grateful this morning to hear all the shares. And so enlightening and refreshing, and it gives me what I need just before I know these holidays coming up. And believe it or not, this is one of my favorite ones, too. All of them were. They were good eating holidays. But the fact is today, I had to admit, get into my feelings. You know, it's like, what am I feeling today? Oh, and identified. I said, okay, God, what am I supposed to do with this? That came to me, log on the vision for you. Get in, stay connected. So I'm grateful. I heard some heavy hitters all day, and it's been beautiful. Just want to be reminded of these promises I want to share a little on. It's like the description of compulsive overeating. You know, this chapter for before this one is about agnostics, the personal adventures that will come after 164. You know, all these help us to realize, me to realize that I am a compulsive overeater who could not manage my life. Many years in the program, I'm going to try it my way. I'm going to do it the smartest, forest way. I'm going to take this, I'm going to take that, but I'm going to leave that step. Probably no human power could. And when they said probably, that meant I'm a human, so maybe. I mean, they gave me a way out. But then after, that God could and would if he was thought. And what vision for you helped me and the group before that understand is that when I do these steps exactly as they presented before me, God could, and he did, because I saw them exactly the way they gave it to me. So I like this program of keeping it simple, reminding me I'm not alone. Keep coming back. The work that you're working, and I'll pass it back.
Thank you, Dion R. And Jody E., you're up, followed by Kim B. Good morning. Good morning, Jody.
Good morning, Kathleen and everybody. This is Jody E., a grateful recovering compulsive overeater in California. This letter A, that we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives, and that B, that probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism, feels like a death sentence. By themselves, they are a death sentence. I need a solution. As a real compulsive overeater who cannot manage her own life, I desperately need a solution. And that's what this book offers me. In C here, God can and will if he is sought. Thank you, God. This is telling me that there is a solution. And that solution is God. And as we learned in the chapter to the agnostic, I get to find my own conception of God, thankfully. because not everybody even likes that word. So thank you for there being a solution. Thank you for it being clearly laid out for me in this book. And thank you for the fellowship of Overeaters Anonymous that I desperately need. Not only do I need God, I also seem to need this fellowship. I need God, another human being, and my own willingness to take these steps, beginning with step one. Very, very important step. I cannot serve God and mammon at the same time. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Jody E. And Kim B., before I take you, a reminder to everyone, we're on page 60, second paragraph, our description of the alcoholic, reading through A, B, and C, ending with could and would if you were sought. And I'll be able to take some more names for shares after Kim B. So go ahead, please, Kim B.
Yes, good morning. My name is Kim B. I'm gratefully recovered in the state of Wisconsin. And I, too, am going to hit on a lot of what others have already shared on, but it just resonated with me today, and that is God could and would if he were sought. And that if, that two-letter word for me is so powerful. It's really sticking out for me today. As someone said earlier, just the buildup of human emotions that I have every day. And that I'm allowed to have as a human being. I'm going to have, whether I like them or not. I need to remember that I alone cannot solve all my problems. I cannot come up with the answers. I try, but I need to remember that, and that's where this fellowship comes into play, too, and reading this literature and these reminders that, you know, I had a friend I was sharing a problem I was having, a fellow with an OA fellow, and she's like, have you prayed about it? And I was like, oh my gosh, I completely forgot to pray about it. And it was like, it just like knocks you aside the head, you know? It's like, yeah, my humanness wants to try to figure out my problems on my own and then just gripe about them to my OA fellows. And that, you know, is not a bad thing, but I think that's where my higher power works through you in this fellowship, is that hits me between the eyeballs of just like, oh yeah, if I sought God, you know, if I need to remember that if that I have to seek God in all my problems today, that, you know, and then I need to listen to those solutions, you know, and not just respond out of, you know, like panic or fear. And just remember that God's handling things and, you know, to breathe. I loved what someone said, just surrender and breathe and relax. And I try to do that as well on a regular basis. But certainly as if, you know, again, problems circulate in my brain, that I need to remember to seek God in all my affairs today. And, you know, and if you know, the solutions don't come, then you know, that's what the fellowship is for, too, is to reach out or to seek, you know, others that maybe have come before me. That's the beauty of this program. You know, Bill W. and Bob, they all went through this before us, thank goodness, so that we can learn from their issues and their problems. You know, I think Bill W. wrote a essay about emotional sobriety 30 years after his sobriety. So, you know, it's a constant battle. It's staying sober is one thing, but living sober, that's the challenge for me, is how do I live today happy, joyous, free? And, you know, I can only do that if I keep working this every day, like my hair is on fire, like we've said here over and over again. And that's what I do. I just have to stay plugged in, connected, seek, you know, God. You know, God wants me to seek him. And so if I seek him, and I will find solutions. And I probably wouldn't have stayed in OA if it wasn't for this. And we read this every time I came to my first few meetings 12 years ago, and I'm so grateful for that. And reading these ABCs over every week, it was just wonderful, because God was doing for me what I could not do for myself. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Kim B. from Wisconsin. Okay, who else would like to share on this second paragraph on page 60, our description of the alcoholic?
Cat B.
Is that Cat B?
Kathy V.
Oh, Kathy V, okay. Anyone else?
Diane B.
Yes,
Diane
one
B.
Eighth M. Oh,
one eighth M. Okay, let's stop right there. Okay, so I have Kathy V, Diane B, and one eighth M. So go ahead, Kathy V. Star one to unmute Kathy V.
Good morning. This is Kathy Z from Washington State. Thank you for your service, Kathleen. I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Feeling grateful this morning for words. God's given us words through the big book to enlighten us and strengthen us. And he's given us words through our fellows to encourage us. And so this morning, the words that I wanted to focus on that I just feel grateful for, that's kind of fun, is I came up with a word quad, as in our quads, and this chapter, this reading, I'm thinking that every day I need to work my quads with an emphasis on the S, and that is I need to seek God, I need to surrender to God, I need to step with God, and I need to serve others through God. And I'm so thankful for everyone. I wish everyone a wonderful weekend. God bless you, and we'll listen Sunday morning. Thank you for your service. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Kathy Z in Washington. And Diane B., good morning. You're up, followed by Wendy Sim.
Good morning. I hope everybody has a good weekend this weekend, and thank you for all your service, all the OA visions that are on this line. Okay, so the thing that stood out to me with these ABCs is how unmanageable my life was and how that manifested itself. It manifested itself in with my ego wanting to take control and manage other people's lives and do what I want to do. And anyway, so that is probably my biggest problem, is that it's a problem of living in unmanageability. And so when it's always such a quandary for me how connected my food is to my unmanageability in my life. I just don't, somehow God connected that for me so that I would be able to look at my life and how I was in other people's business and not staying in my own, and especially not in God's business. God's business is taking care of other people and putting God first, others second, and me third. And just eating what I'm supposed to eat, doing what I'm supposed to do on a daily basis. And so anyway, I'm just really grateful that this program helps me look at that unmanageability. And I pass.
Thank you, Diane B. in California. Juan E. Sim, go ahead, please.
Good morning. My name is Juanis N, as in Nancy, in Southern California. And mine will probably be really quick, but this is just something that I have never read this way before from the big book, and it's really kind of blowing me away this morning. But I've always read, A, that we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives. B, that probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism. And C, that God could and would if he was sought. That God could and would relieve my alcoholism, my compulsive overeating. He could and would if he were sought. But I never really thought about the A, that we are alcoholic, and God could manage my life, and he will manage my life if I seek him. I just never saw it that way. Everything to me until prior to coming to Vision was all about staying abstinent or staying sober. Never was it about God really managing my life. You know, it was all about God relieving me from my alcoholism, from the disease, and from the pain of the disease and all this other stuff. But never that, you know, I have a life where I need an agent. I need an agent in my life for my career. And to think that God could be my agent, that God would be my agent in life and manage my career for me. You know, that's just really blowing me away. So I'm grateful. Thank you, and that's all.
Thank you, Juan East and in California. Okay, I have time for another share. Would anyone else like to jump in?
This is Julie E.B.
Thank you, Julie E.B. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, well, I'm just so grateful. I'm so grateful. This is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered. I'm so grateful in Colorado Springs. And I'm just glad to just be on the line. And, you know, for me, I thought that before I could see God, I had to clean up my own life. You know, that would manifest like really not wanting to talk to anyone about my food until I'd been on a diet for like a month and it was going great, or not wanting to talk to my sponsor until I had cleaned up some mess I had made in my life. And so this is kind of a higher power first plan. The problem with my other plan was instead of seeking God, what I was really seeking before I would go to God is my own advice, my own counsel. And we're only as sick as our minds. My problem centers in my mind. And so I start spinning out, okay, maybe I should do this, maybe I should do that. I got to figure this out. And I love that figuring this out is not in here. This is about seeking. And that means I don't have to be sure there's an answer on the other end. I remember my son finally got in a couple colleges, and I remember just, and they wanted more money than our family had. And I just remember sobbing and say what I consider the first and simplest prayer and promise and all sorts of things in the big book, which is, God, please do for me what I can't do for myself. That prayer is so powerful because in it I'm admitting that I can't do this stuff myself, which was my default, to try and do it for myself first instead of seek that help. And I prayed that, and I just, it's especially powerful for me today because, someone brought up to me that we could do a financial aid appeal, which we did every year, all 4 years, and my son should graduate from college on Sunday. Still has a couple assignments out there, so there's still, I'm still seeking God for patience. But he should graduate from that college on Sunday. And like I said, I didn't know what to do, and so I sought because of that. So hopefully that's helpful to someone. And feel free to reach out to me. Thanks.
Thank you, Julie B., and thank you everyone who shared so generously this morning and made this meeting such a great meeting. Thank you, Team Friday, for the month of May. And we are now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So Robin P., would you please read a vision for you? Star one to unmute, Robin.
Sorry, hi, it's Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater currently in Vero Beach, Florida. And page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.